Our Father, we thank you because you have brought us together. And we pray, Lord, that you will feed us with the bread of heaven today. Father, I release myself. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will speak through my lips. And I pray, Lord, that this will be a healing tool. Tool that will heal different lives, different homes, and that will heal us as a church, and that will heal the body of Christ at large. Thank you, Almighty God. We ask that you will brood upon your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Like I said, it's going to be a teaching session, so I will be a little slow about it so that I will be able to pass across everything that I believe that God wants me to pass across today in very clear terms, just at the risk of not being able to finish anyway. But I believe that the Holy Spirit will help me in Jesus' name. So like I said, we are talking about the power of agreement. In the book of Acts of Apostles, some of the scriptures, I may not read them because of time. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 12, verses 5 to 12. I'm not going to read that because it's a long passage. Acts 12, 5 to 12. That's where the Bible talks about when Peter was in prison, and the Bible says that prayers were said by the church for him. And because the church came together in one accord and they prayed, God intervened and he was delivered. That is that scripture. But today, there's lack of agreement everywhere, even in the church of God. Lack of agreement in nations, lack of agreement between nations, lack of agreement between families, between, you know, friends at places of work. Lack of agreement. And now that lack of agreement has affected homes and marriages where spouses don't have the same vision again. One is running to the north, the other is running to the south. One is towards the east, the other is dreaming of the west. And the vision is not only even twice, you know, not in two ways, sometimes so many. So this one is feeding this vision, that one is feeding the other vision. And that weakens the house. It weakens what the purpose of God is for that home. There is division everywhere. Communication distances that the enemy has introduced, you know, into marriages. Communication distances, whether by virtue of physical distance, by virtue of distance that we have created by ourselves, you know, by being busy with one thing or the other and not attending to each other. And these are the things that bring, you know, that they bring division, they bring disagreement, and they bring they weaken the purpose of God in those homes. Increasingly, it is becoming difficult for us to reach consensus. This one wants to have the final say. This one is trying to I must put my finger right on it. I must nail it and nail it in. That is happening. And that is why we don't see the kind of results that we are supposed to see, even in our homes. The children can't even settle differences between themselves. They can't even settle differences. You know, these are the days when you see, you know, a child is not talking to the other child, you know, and they are all over the place. They don't follow the things that the parents are saying, even in the Lord. Children that, you know, that parents nurtured and they nurtured them, and then they realize that they were grown and they know so much now. They know so much and they don't even want to agree. They don't see eye to eye with parents again. And it becomes a disagreement. It becomes a tool that the enemy is using even to afflict that home, that marriage, that relationship. In our workplaces, we have a lot of disagreements. Disagreements between people that we sit together. You know, the person who is sitting every morning, you wake up, you remember that you are going to that office, and then your heart, you know, misses a beat because you know there's somebody who is always there that is at par. He's just disagreeing with everything you do, disagreeing with everything you say. Friendship is becoming difficult because of disagreement. We cannot reach consensus. Everybody wants to be the one whose decision is final. And this one decision has to be final. But that is the problem we have today. I mean, that's the problem. Even in the church, like I said, that's the problem we're having, even between churches. You see, all too soon, you know, somebody goes and then they start another one and they disagree with, you know, they disagree with the one they came out from. And that is the devil at work. Sometimes we think, oh, it is man. But we need to look inwards and see the devil at work. And that is weakening the power of the church all over the world, where we have this, you know, this denomination, that denomination, and nobody comes together to work together. And the enemy keeps promoting, even promoting the unbelievers. They gather together and they have a voice, and they feed their voice, and their voice matters even in communities, in nations, unlike the church of, I mean, the voice of the church. And that is why today we need to talk about it, and we not only need to talk about it, we need to pray that God will bring us together again in Jesus' name. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 20, verses 29 to 31. I think I'll read that place. Acts of Apostles 20, 29 to 31. Brother Paul was writing, he was warning the elders of Ephesus. He said, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." That was Brother Paul. He was warning the church of the elders of Ephesus. He said, after my departure, no, be vigilant, because the wolves will come. They will come. They will not even spare the flocks. They will not only deal with the, you know, people outside the flock. They want to also deal with the flock. They want to scatter the flock. They will speak perverse things. They want to draw away disciples after them. They want to take people along with them. That was Brother Paul admonishing the Christians and the elders of Ephesus. That is happening in churches of God today, unfortunately. I pray that God will restore us back to unity in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 16. I will read that scripture as well. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. The Bible says that God hates disagreement. God hates disagreement. I will read from verse 16, Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Those are the things the Bible says God hates. He hates these. Those ones that sowed discord among the brethren. Sowing discord between friends. Sowing discord between churches. Sowing discord, you know, the internet is filled with that a lot these days. You check the internet, you see them flying around. You know, this person wants to just, you know, there are people who are actually gathering disciples after them. And gathering disciples, even people who have once professed to be Christians, they are gathering them after themselves. And they are accumulating number of views online, you know, against the purpose of God. They just want to derail people. People who don't have a place where they don't have where they are going, but they want to take a lot of people along. I pray that we will not be victims of those in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says, like Paul was admonishing the Ephesian church. He said they will not spare the flock. That is, they will not spare us. They are not going to spare us. We are not immune to all those deceits, those deceptions. We are not immune. The fact that we are in the church, the fact that we listen to the word of God, does not mean that we are immune. We only need to know, like we read in the scripture this morning, we need to continue to know, to search the scriptures. Otherwise, they will take us along. I pray they will not achieve that purpose in Jesus' name. Brethren, the place of disagreement is the weakest link of a chain. I know that we have heard that so many times, that the chain is as strong as its weakest link. That the chain is as strong as its weakest link. And that weakest link is that place of disagreement. That's where the weakness is. No matter how strong the house is, it is that point of disagreement that is the weakness. That is the weakness, and that tells so much how strong that house is. It tells so much. Some of us have, you know, we have heard about houses where, you know, it's so huge, but the basement is faulty. The basement is faulty. So even as big as the house is, it's the little weakness in that basement that may not even be visible to people. It may not be visible to people looking at the house from outside, that there is fault in the foundation. But that is the strength of that house. That basement, that little leak that can sink a ship, that weakness at the basement of the house, that is the strength. That is what determines whether the house stands or not. We know about the earthquake that happened in California recently. And they said, even though it was maybe initially a tremor, they said the worst was yet to happen. I pray that the worst will not happen in Jesus' name. But what they were saying is that there is weakness already. There is compromise already. There is compromise underground that we don't see. And so that the latter one may be worse. That's what they are saying. That we may not see it, but there is weakness already. There is compromise in the basement. There is compromise underneath. And that is how disagreement is. It creeps in, and we may not know. We may overlook it. And we may not do the right thing we need to do. It is also possible that people are in agreement negatively. We know about so many negative agreements. People are in cults, and that's a negative. The agreement there is so strong that you can't even imagine. But that's a negative agreement. That's not the kind of agreement we are trusting God to foster in our midst, to foster in the church of God all over the world. But people can be in negative agreements. There, in the scripture, in the book of Acts chapter 23, we are not going to read also because of time, because I want to go somewhere before we close today. Acts chapter 23, the Bible talks about those 40 men that swore to an oath that they would not eat until they had killed Paul. That they will not eat until they have killed Paul. And they swore to an oath. They entered into an agreement. 40 people. 40 Jews. And they said, we will not eat. We will not drink until we have killed Paul. That was a negative agreement. And God dealt with them. There was a negative agreement between Miriam and Aaron. In the book of Numbers chapter 12. The Bible says that because Moses went to take a wife from Ethiopia. The Bible says these people began to murmur. They entered, they formed a pact together to murmur against the man of God. And they said, don't we also hear God? Don't we hear God? Why is it only Moses that is doing this and doing that? Why is it only Moses that God is talking to? Why is it only Moses that can, that can do whatever he likes? They murmured. And we know what ended up that negative agreement. Because God judged them. And the Bible says that Miriam became leprous. This morning, I am praying to God that if anyone is in any negative agreement, unequal yoke is a negative agreement. Unequal yoke, yoked unequally. I believe that there's no one here who is yoked man to man or woman to woman. That is the height of abomination. I saw those so many times, it was an ugly sight when I went to New York. I mean, you almost want to pick a cane and flog some people, flog sense into them. Now, how can you say you are a man, but you are a woman? You see, if any of them is possessed, I pray that they will be delivered in Jesus' name. But it's not a pleasant sight, brethren. And I believe that there's nobody like that here. But even yoking with, a man yoking with a woman unequally. You are married and you are having an extramarital affair. It's an unequal yoke. Or you are yet to marry and you are doing boyfriend and girlfriend. It's an unequal yoke. These are negative agreements. These are agreements that God will judge. These are agreements that God is not at peace with. These are agreements that will put us in trouble. They are an agreement, but they are negative agreements. They are the kind of agreement that we are not talking about. That we are not praying that the Almighty God will restore us back into. And I pray that if there is any such negative agreement here today, that they are broken right now in Jesus' name. I pray that they will be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, the Bible says in the book of 1 John 5, 7 to 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, the Bible says they are one. And there are three that bear witness in heart, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three, the Bible says they agree in one. And that is why, you know, people have been trying to separate Father from Son, from Holy Spirit, and they have never been able to separate it. People have tried it. Books written, you know, epistles of men, theologies of men, wisdom of men, different scientific proofs. No one has been able to separate because of the kind of agreement between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is why the agreement that God is involved in, that's an agreement that is so strong that nobody can separate it. Nobody can tear it apart. And I pray that we will allow God to bind us together as a church, to bind us together in groups. We all have different groups here. Some of them, maybe almost all of us, we have different groups here. God will bind us together in Jesus' name. In the book of Job chapter 22, because the first agreement that I want us to look into and pray for this morning is for us to agree with God. That's the first one. That's the most important agreement. If a husband agrees with God and a wife agrees with God, there's no way they will not. It's just like when you say A equals C and B equals C. We all know that C is equal to, or A is equal to B. That was a little mathematical. Let me come again. If A equals C and B equals C, we know that A is equal to B. That's the way it is. So if man, if the man agrees with God and the woman agrees with God, there is no way that they will be a disagreement with each other. And that is why God and his word should be the final say. Because once they both agree with God, then there is a place to settle. There is a place to settle any, you know, any misunderstanding that may creep into homes. Because they are both connected. They are both connected with the word of God. They are both connected with God. That should be the place where they will settle. That this one will surrender. This one will say, yes, that's the final. That should be the final say. Even as a church, that should be the final say. In groups in church, that should be the final say. If Brother A and Brother B are both connected with God, then God should be the final say. The word of God should be the final say about anything that is happening in their midst. And so in the book of Job chapter 22 from verse 21, I'm going to read from the Message Bible for emphasis sake. Job 22, 21 to 25. Give in to God, come to terms with him, and everything will turn out just fine. Maybe I should just stop there because of time. The Bible says give in to God. I think there's this translation that says agree with God. Agree with God. Give in to God, come to terms with him, and everything will turn out just fine. Will turn out just fine. That is, agree with him. Agree with what God is saying. Agree with what the word of God is saying. And the Bible says everything will turn out just fine. Maybe you are disturbed. Things are not working the way you expected. The Bible says just give in to the word of God. Agree with the word of God. The Bible says everything will turn out just fine. Maybe there is a child that is not doing well. A child, a situation, a business that is not working fine. That is not that doesn't appear like you have been putting much into it. The Bible says, give in to God, and everything will turn out just fine. Whatever it is that is happening in your life, in your family, things are happening and we just don't understand. We have prayed. The Bible says Peter toiled all night and he caught nothing. But then he agreed with Jesus. He agreed with the word of God. He gave in to his word. And the Bible says everything, that he caught a boat sinking fish. Because everything turned out just fine. I pray that this morning, that everything in our lives at the instance of the word of God will turn out just fine in Jesus' name. I'll go quickly to the fruit of agreement. That when we agree, what happens? When we agree, what happens? There's a song, I can't remember part of, you know, the lyrics of that song. It's an old song that when we all walk together, how happy we shall be, something like that. When we all walk together, that is when we walk together in agreement, we'll all be happy. We will all be joyful when we walk together. So one of the fruits of our agreement, and we are believing God that in 50 days, God is bringing this fruit into our midst in Jesus' name. There will be goals realized and results will be achieved when we agree together. Goals will be realized. Goals will be realized. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, 24 to 25, there are four things which are little upon the heart, but they are exceedingly wise. The hands are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The hands, the Bible says, they are a people. They are not strong, but they prepare their meat, their food in the summer because they agree together. Because they work it hand in hand together. They know how to do it together. And then they get the result. They achieve the result. And so when we agree together, results are guaranteed. When we do things together, first we have agreed with God, and then we are agreeing with each other. We are agreeing with one another. As people of God, we are agreeing. We have a focus. We are all going there. There's a mandate. We are all pursuing that mandate. It is confirmed. It is in the scripture that results will be realized. And that is the final say. Then what happens again? Not only are we going to achieve results, the results will be augmented. The Bible says that one will chase 1,000 and two, 10,000. That's an exponential result. Because we will not only get results, but our result will be amplified when we agree together. And when I was preparing this message, what came to my mind was, you know, something that used to happen. I know some of us still do that, you know, in our contemporary days. But back in Nigeria, you know, this daily contribution that, you know, our parents used to do, that one man will be collecting the something from house to house, and he will be writing, "Mama, this gave 50 naira and this and that." You see, at the end of the day, you know, they pull everything together. And then, because they have all pulled everything together, they give it to somebody. They give it to somebody. But if that woman alone, if he's keeping the thing by herself, if she's keeping it by herself and she wants to use only her own contribution, it may not be enough to do what she wanted to do. But by the time they pulled everybody's contribution together and they give it to this person, she'll be able to achieve something with it. Then the next month, they pull everybody's contribution together, they give it to that person, she's able to do something with it. That is how the augmented results look like when we agree together. I pray that God will help us so that we can come together and have augmented results in the name of Jesus Christ. We may think that we are getting results. We may think that we have gotten somewhere. But there is yet something that we need to experience. There is yet that God has in store for us. As a church, as a people, as families, there's yet something that God has in store for us. Some of us are here, you know, we are in some partnership together, and we are an example of what I'm talking about, in partnership in business. Unfortunately, these are days when, you know, brethren, you know, they even find it difficult to come together to do business, because the Bible says that some men have crept in unawares. Some men have crept in unawares, but I pray that we will not have such men in our midst. By men, I'm not saying men and sparing the women. I'm saying that we will not have anyone like that in this place in Jesus' name. That, you know, the others will find it easy to walk with them. That the others will find it easy to walk with everybody. I pray that we will be such people in Jesus' name. And so, one, we chase 1,000. Two, we chase 10,000. And that's why we are here today, brethren. That's why this church is here today. Because it was not one. It was even more than two that brought us here. The same thing that brought us here, brethren, let's not leave it. The same, you know, in medicine we say you don't change the winning team. You don't change the winning team. If a medication is working for somebody, you don't go and change it suddenly and say, because I just want to change it. Because I just feel like writing something else. Then you cause another chaos, and then you may begin to pursue, you know, that one until maybe the person's symptom becomes stabilized. We don't change the winning team. The same thing that has helped us, the same contribution that has helped us, the same putting all our hands to the plow that helped this ministry from the hall that we started from to the other side of, you know, of Jordan, where we came, and finally to this place. Brethren, do not let us stop it. Do not let us abandon the things that have helped us. Do not let us abandon those ancient ways, those things that we have had, those things that we have learned, those things that have helped us to be who we are today. Let us not abandon those things, but rather let us do more of those things, and we will get more results in Jesus' name. Being in agreement protects us. It shields us together. Shields us together. We know. Well, I'm taking some of these examples from, you know, because some of those things don't happen here. Unfortunately, many of us, if not all of us, are from Africa. You know this vigilante that we used to do. Some of us did it before. This vigilante that we used to do. They would say, because robbers are coming to that place, then landlords have to do vigilante and shield themselves in agreement. And that was working. Whether because by the time you are doing it, you know, sometimes even one of the landlords may be among the robbers. But you have brought them. They are part of the vigilante. There is no way they can go out and rob because they are there. So, but these things were working because we were together. Because they were together. Because they were together. When we watch it together, when we look at it together, when we plan it together, when we defend it together, when they are saying something against it and we stand up against that voice together. Sometimes, you know, children, the way they do, they will come and ask me something, and then they'll go and use that to ask my wife indirectly, and they will find out that it's the same answer. Or she will ask them, have you told your dad? What did he say? You see, when we have a voice, when we move together, then there's no division. Then it becomes difficult for the enemy to enter in. It becomes difficult for the devil to steal what the Lord has in store for us. It becomes very difficult when we have one voice. And that comes with praying together. There's a saying that a church or a house, a family that prays together stays together. And that's why we'll be praying together. Even beyond 50 days, that's why we should be praying together. That's why we should be praying together. Prayer meetings are meetings that, you know, we don't see a lot of people. But these are meetings that bind us together. Because once we go in, we know how intimate the military, how intimate they get when they go to warfare, when they go to battlefield together. Because they have even left their families behind. So their next of kin is the person next to them. And so they come back, they are still a formidable force. They are still together. If we work together in agreement, that's how it will be. We will have a heart, we will have a voice, and our voice will matter. One of the fruits of agreement is strength. Strength. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Ecclesiastes 4, 12. No, that's not the scripture there. Okay. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. That's the scripture. Ecclesiastes 4:12, New Living Translation. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple-braided cord is not easily broken. I know that our women can attest to that when they talk about braiding. They said a triple braided cord cannot be easily broken. You know, when you braid it, it's difficult for you to just pick, you know, just pull it apart like that. When it's braided, when you have three, I don't know how you call strands, and you weave it together, four strands woven together. It's difficult for somebody to just pull it and tear the thing. And so that is where we need to be. We are strength. We begin to come out from the midst of us rather than weakness. We are strength. We begin to come from this ministry rather than weakness. We are strength. We begin to come from our families rather than weakness. We are strength. We begin to come from any relationship, God ordained, godly relationship where we are right now, rather than weakness. Because a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. Strength, there is strength in agreement. And I pray that God will give us that strength in Jesus' name. There is growth. Growth in the church. Growth, even personal growth. When we agree with God, we begin to have a relationship with Him and we begin to grow. When we have a relationship with God and agreement with Him, it engenders growth, personal growth, spiritual growth. When we have a relationship, you know, with our spouse, then it begins to grow, love begins to grow. When we have relationship and agreement in a family, then we begin to grow. The family begins to grow. There is a love. Love begins to grow in that family. When there's an agreement in a church, then there is growth in that church. When people come, they see unity. They see agreement. People want to be there. That's why the Bible says in book of Acts chapter 2, because they were in one accord. The Bible says that God added to them daily such as should be saved. If God brought somebody and that person met them fighting, how many people will stand? When you entered and you saw them throwing chairs, you will run away and say, I don't want to be there. But every day somebody was there and he met them in one accord. And he was like, this is where I want to be. And that is what engenders growth. This one comes and finds the place, a home, and he stays there. And so I pray this morning that with unity, with our agreement, that God will grow this church in Jesus' name. Amen. And lastly, the Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 133, verse 3, the first verse there, I'm not going to read, but the Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. But in verse 3, it says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Brethren, that is the summary of it. There is no talking about God's blessings when there is disagreement. There's no talking of God's blessings where there is discord, where we don't see eye to eye, where we don't agree with God, where we don't agree with the purpose of God. There is no commanding of the blessing of God. But where God commands His blessing is where we are all in one accord. Bible says, behold how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is that place where when God speaks a word through His servant, we all follow. When God speaks a word through His servant, we all agree that this is God. This is the message. This is a word from God. Unlike that man, the Bible says that servant on whom the king leaned. The Bible says Elisha prophesied that about this time tomorrow, there will be plenty in Samaria. And the Bible says that there was one man that said, you want us to believe this one? Do you want us to believe this? Even God, if God opens the window of heaven, that cannot happen. But the Bible says it happened and he only saw with his eyes. Because God does not spare. Even though God wants us to agree together as a church, as a people, He wants us to agree together in families, He still does not condone if somebody decides not to be in agreement. And that was what happened to Achan. Because God will not condone. He will not condone. Achan was going to be the weak link of the chain of the children of Israel. And he went and stole what God said, do not steal. The Bible says that God destroyed him, destroyed his entire family. Because he chose to be the weak link. He chose to be the weak link. I pray that this morning, that none of us will choose to be the weak link in the name of Jesus Christ. Because God wants us to be in agreement. And it is possible. It is possible. It is possible that sometimes somebody chooses not to be in agreement. Sometimes you want to be a friend with somebody and they decide not to be. I remember that the GO was giving an example of somebody who decided that he was going to go to hell, but he wanted to take somebody to hell and he was bent on making sure that the GO missed it too. You know, there are people like that. So you just have to just commit them to the hands of God and pray that God will help them. Because God does not spare. If somebody decides, no, I'm not going to agree, then there's vengeance. Because God did it to Achan. Because God did it to that man that doubted the word of God through the mouth of his servant that there was going to be plenty in Samaria. The Bible says that he only saw the plenty with his eyes. He did not touch it. He did not hit it. I pray that that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Brethren, I want us to rise up and do a little prayer this morning. Do a little prayer this morning, even as we begin to prepare ourselves to what God is going to begin to do in our midst in 50 days. In 50 days that God is binding us together. I want you to ask the Lord this morning to heal you. Heal you, heal your life. Father, heal me of whatever disagreement has caused me.